Documentaries no longer run just in art houses and college film societies. The success of last year's Spellbound, the films of Michael Moore and Errol Morris, not to mention this year's Super Size Me and The Control Room, have put documentaries into some of the same movie plexes that show the latest Spider-Man and Ben Stiller films. Nowadays, documentaries are often called by a more commercially enticing title, nonfiction films. The filmmaker who's sometimes credited with making real stories more gripping than fiction is Barbara Kopple. Her Academy Award-winning documentary, 1977's Harlan County, USA, brought attention to the struggle for reform among organized miners.
The United Mine Works today is a labor organization of rank-and-file miners, led by rank-and-file miners for rank-and-file miners, and that's the way it ought to be.
I want to introduce to all of you now, and I expect that most of you already know her, Miss Florence Reese.
I'm not a coal miner, as you well know, but I'm as close as I could be not to be one. My father was a coal miner who was killed in the mines, and my husband is slowly dying with black lung. And my husband and me was in the strike in the 30s in bloody Harlan County, and I do mean it is bloody, too. And now this song I composed in the 30s. Come all you poor workers, good news to you I'll tell. How the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
If you go to that was first the voice of Arnold Miller, the reformer who became president of the United Mine Workers Union, and the voice of Florence Reese. And now we are joined by Barbara Kopple. She's being honored by the American Film Institute for her lifetime of work. She earned her second Academy Award for the 1991 nonfiction film, American Dream, citations from the Directors Guild of America, Emmys, numerous other awards. She's also made films about Mike Tyson, Gregory Peck, the Teamsters, the Hamptons. Barbara Kopple joins us from the studios of the Argo Network in New York City. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
To hear that gripping clip from Harlan County, USA all over again, I'm wondering if you can take us back to Harlan County. And remind us what that story, what those stories, in a sense, were about.
I had started doing work with the coal miners when Arnold Miller, the first voice that you heard, who was trying to overtake the United Mine Workers because Tony Boyle had been in there, and he was responsible for the murders of Jock Yablonski and his wife and daughter, who were running against him. So Arnold Miller sort of sprung up as a coal miner from the ranks to say, we want democracy in our union. So I followed that battle through. His first promise was to organize the unorganized. And so I decided to stick with it to see if he was really going to keep his promises. And Harlan County, Kentucky was the first place that I went to. And Eastern Kentucky was like nothing I had ever seen before. And the struggle was one of life and death.
When you say you never saw a place like Eastern Kentucky before, that begs the question, where are you from?
Oh, I grew up in Scarsdale, New York, except I never admitted it then because I didn't want people to know where I had grown up.
How did you manage to convince people to open their lives to you?
Well, it was pretty hard at first. It's in Eastern Kentucky, and people live and die by their guns. In fact, people, you can't hide your gun. You have to show your gun.
Let's play a clip, if we could, that we have of you having an encounter with a non-union worker.
Who are you working with, hon?
What?
Who
the
do
United
you work
Press.
With? Will you show me your press card?
It's in the car. And get my
show
press
me your
card.
Press card.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
My name is Basil Collins.
Do you work here?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your position here?
Mine for.
How do you feel about the people picketing out there?
Well, I would have no comment on that.
And you, sir?
Same thing.
Where's this press card you was going to show me?
Can I see your identification?
Ma'am?
May I see your identification?
Yes, ma'am. If I had him, I'll swear I've lost it. All I do is just say
I think I might have misplaced mine, too.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well, that was sure friendly enough.
Well, it wasn't friendly later. And between the two seats, where Basil Collins, my informant, and the other guy were sitting in a white truck, they had a gun, and Basil Collins kept turning that gun, so he was sure that I would look at it.
Let me ask you about a very different kind of film, and this is Wild Man Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Allen and his New Orleans jazz group were touring Europe. We want to run a clip from that film. It's Mr. Allen with Sun Yi. They probably need no introduction together as a couple, and they're riding a gondola in Venice.
This is a great way to achieve maximum tension, going out in a gondola. You know, the knuckles are white, heartbeat is raised. It's quiet back here. You know, the gondolier could cut our throats and no one would know. Yes, you're right, it's me. Hi, fellas. They won't pay 10 cents to see one of my movies, but passing in a gondola, they love it.
What a Woody Allen scene. Woody Allen goes to the most romantic city in the world with the woman for whom, in a sense, he, you know, he threw over a favorable public image to be with her, and he's so Woody Allen in that gondola.
He's Woody Allen in the entire film. It's almost as if he jumped out of the screen, the real Woody Allen, and just became himself in real life.
Did he ever see the film?
Yes.
And?
He kept calling the edit room to come see it. So the two of them came over, and it was they were sitting there holding each other, laughing hysterically at themselves as if they were watching this relationship form and take place. Mm. And at the end of it, he stood up and he said, "So how are you going to edit this down?" And I said, "That's my problem." And he said, "Yes, it is." And off he went.
Mm. Ms. Koppel, what can a documentary do that a fiction film cannot do?
I don't think that they need to be compared. I mean, I think that documentary films really allow you to go sort of into different people's worlds. And people want to know each other. And it's incredible storytelling because it's all real and you're watching lives and people unfold. And, you know, it introduces us to people that we probably would have never have known, or it shows us a different side of people.
What do you think about the work of Michael Moore?
I love the work of Michael Moore. Michael, I think, is an incredible genius. And I think there's room in this world for all different kinds of work. And Michael is unafraid of anyone. He's totally willing to take whatever risks to say the things that he believes. And I think this new film, Fahrenheit 9/11, is probably the best film that he's ever made, and I think it's going to really transform how we look at politics.
Do you ever watch the reality TV shows? I hate
Some
to use the word reality.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
I hate to use the word reality because it sometimes strikes me as grotesque reality, I should say. But have you ever seen anything you liked in those?
Well, actually, I think that it's a really good thing for documentary because it's allowing audiences out there to really see that real lives are important. I mean, even though in the reality shows they take it to a point of total manipulation, I mean, documentaries are doing so extraordinarily well now with Capturing the Freedmans, Fog of War, Winged Migration, Fahrenheit 9/11. I mean, this is a time when I think we need more and more information, when people really want to be able to connect with each other and do more and know more. And now an audience is primed about real life on television, and hopefully these documentaries that show in theaters, there'll be many, many more viewers. I mean, it's something that has been important to me for a very long time.
Changes in technology, have they helped?
Yeah, of course, changes in technology have helped. People in Yugoslavia, Serbia, have been able to tell stories of their lives. People all over the world are able to use very inexpensive cameras to do diaries, to talk about different cultures, to make films, to be able to express themselves. You know, a whole new generation of filmmakers are being able to use a digital format that allows so much more information and so much more storytelling to be out there. It's not just about having to raise a lot of money that impedes you from doing it. Mm-hmm. There's something that you really want to do, you just go out there, you persevere, and it's a wonderful expression of bringing us all a little bit closer.
Barbara Koppel, filmmaker. She will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award this weekend from the American Film Institute at its Silver Docks Film Festival.
Just wanted to say that the award that I'm getting, which is really to continue a legacy of a great, great filmmaker named Charles Guggenheim. He died 2 years ago. He was nominated for 12 Academy Awards, and he received 4 Academy Awards. And he is one of the fantastic storytellers that so many of us have really looked up to for so many years.
Ms. Koppel, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.